know and understand that our nation has roots in it that were established again by God, by a godly heritage. Now, the Bible says the whole entire world is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God takes and sovereignly puts his hand upon different geographical areas. Even within the nation of America, there are certain cities here where you see where God's favor is blessed and God's brought forth great prosperity and brought forth great wisdom, great inventions, and so forth. We know no matter where you go on the earth at, no matter what nation it may be there, God still honors his word that brings forth blessings, protection, prosperity to any people who call upon God's name, follow his ways, turn from wickedness, and allow God to have his way in that region. I want to take and let you understand this morning here some details about the ways that God, I found by some research here, has actually blessed our nation even before the people came here over 200 years ago. What's some of the ways our nation has been blessed in geography and in natural realms? This comes from research done by the Associates for Scriptural Knowledge. They found that we have in America the best and most productive expanse of farmland in the entire world in this nation. We also have the best natural river system imaginable, fed by a uniquely balanced system of groundwater throughout our country. Do you realize there's tremendous hundreds and thousands of square miles of aqueous beds, underwater beds across this country that feed springs, that feeds rivers, that taps into well water? I know when I come from Kansas, the entire western part of Kansas is irrigated by the aqueous beds or by the Aquafaba Basin out there in Colorado and western Kansas, for example. That happens throughout the entire nation of America. Also, they found that the Great Lakes provide interior trade and give a huge source of fresh water that feeds the underground water system for the entire eastern part of America. They also moderate the weather patterns for the east while drawing humidity and bring rain to the Midwest. That's what the Great Lakes do for our country. The coasts on either side of us contain deep and well-protected natural harbors for shipping. They found that on the east and west coast alike, it's like God formed our harbors to bring forth a place to build tremendous cities to bring in commerce from the east and from the west that are not actually prevalent in many nations and continents around the entire globe. The coasts also contain deep and well-protected natural harbors. The mineral wealth in our nation is unmatched in any nation in the world except perhaps Russia. We are blessed with peaceful neighbors for the most part on the north and on the south. Realize that Mexico and Canada has been a blessing to have those nations and not nations like Iran or Iraq or Libya on our borders. Amen. God's given us, for the most part, peaceful countries who are not trying to be at war with us and not try to attack us or put nuclear bases right there on our borders. That's been done again by the sovereign hand, I believe, of God. Also, the wide oceans on the west and east coast of our nation provide highways for commerce, but also they provide moats of protection from potential enemies across the oceans. Praise God that North Korea is as far away as they are. Thank God that other nations, again, are thousands of miles away because there's been moats put there called the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans to keep them at bay. The soil of much of our nation is very, very productive. There's also the blessing of abundant rain, public hygiene from clean water and sewer systems across our country, and higher education has been given to such a degree here that people are coming from all over the world to receive their education right here in the United States of America. There are so many things that God has done in a natural realm to bless his country in so many good ways. I may even bring out in the future here something Therese Brocker brought to us back in the prayer room a couple of weeks ago, how the very nature of our geography actually patterns the tabernacle of Moses, the place of the rivers and the waters on the east coast, to the gold and the silver on the west coast, where the Holy of Holies is at, and all things are made of gold and silver in that place. It's how God almost brought a curtain of the Rocky Mountains. Those things are all parallels, it seems like, how God was saying, I'm going to bring forth a nation in these last days to be a light and a beacon and a blessing to the world in Jesus' name. And I believe America shall ever be a nation like that till Jesus Christ comes back to the face of the earth. Amen. Yes, we've got problems. Yes, we've got some things that are wrong in the country. There's over 350,000 local churches in this nation today that are showing forth, hopefully most of them, the light, the truth, and the gospel of Jesus Christ in great ways, not just here, but abroad. Amen. So, as the years have progressed, We're all seeing the benefits and the blessings of the good roots that were established in this nation decades and decades ago. Even right here in Austin, Texas, there were seeds of revival sown here over 100 years ago that I believe that are still lying dormant to be watered by the power of God's Spirit to bring forth, I believe, a great harvest of people into His kingdom, and also prodigal sons and daughters coming back into fellowship with the Lord, I believe, in this hour. Do you realize that revivals primarily are backslidden believers coming back to God and coming back into fellowship with the body of Christ? I believe that will take place also in this city, even more so in days ahead than ever is seen before. We're also seeing, of course, the results of those who sow bad seed bringing forth bad fruit. You sow good seed, you bring forth good fruit. You sow bad seed, you bring forth bad fruit. That's why God says, for this purpose, the Son of God is manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. The fact is, Satan does have seed, Satan does have works, but God is manifest through us by Jesus Christ to destroy the works of the enemy. Amen? As long as we're alive on this earth, we're alive to be people that manifest Jesus Christ to destroy the works of darkness on the face of this earth. And I praise God we can do that, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. We can do that in greater measure. Amen? Do you agree? Two folks do. Amen. We're going to get you guys all on board here. We're going to believe nothing is impossible with Christ and through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. So we're going to take and talk today about putting down good roots, because it takes place not just for a nation or a city. It also is the same truth for individuals in the body of Christ, that good seed brings forth good fruit, bad seed brings forth bad fruit. We're going to talk about putting forth good fruit, good roots in your life today, how to do that by God's Word. First of all, let's see about the importance of what roots are in spiritual sense. Proverbs chapter 12, that's a 1, not a 2. Proverbs 12, verse 3, it says, a man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous, it says, cannot be moved. So it says the righteous people of God have got a spiritual root in them, and that cannot be moved. Proverbs 12:12 goes on and says, the wicked, they covet and desire the catch of the evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 say, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. So God is saying that roots that are in us actually build us up and cause faith to increase also in our lives. Romans chapter 11, verse 16 says, for if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. So God is telling you and I today, we must protect the roots. We must put down good roots. And we also must be striving for better roots, because sometimes weeds come in and the enemy sows some bad seed among us. And those bad roots, God wants rooted out. And He wants those weak roots that are good roots to be watered, cultivated there, and brought forth in fruition to bring forth even more fruit that remains. I mean, that's why God will prune us sometimes to bring forth better fruit in our lives. So let's take and write some things down this morning, perhaps in your bulletins. And again, you can use those tear-offs in your bulletins to write out prayer requests. You can write those things out, give them to ushers before you leave the place today. We'll take those prayer requests and read those. God is still answering so many prayers. We just give praise and thanks for what He's doing here in answered prayer. But to have better roots, there's three things I want to say before we dismiss today about how to have better roots take place in our lives. The first one, number one, is this. We must become planted. We must become planted. To get better roots, we've got to, first of all, become planted, and planted in good ways by God. One of the most powerful verses that I pray myself on a regular basis before I preach or speak on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or at a conference or wherever else, is I pray this verse found in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 30. Most powerful verse perhaps in the Bible about roots. And it says this, and the remnants of Israel, God's people, who have escaped of the house of Judah, shall again take root downward, and they shall bear fruit upward. Now the key word I want you to see there is not just root, but the word again. What happens here is Israel backslides. They turn their backs on God. They get back involved in idolatry. They go through all kinds of famine, pestilence, and attacks by the enemy successfully. And they finally, in a cyclic type way, again and again and again, they finally get their hearts leaning toward God again. They call upon the name of God, and God shows up. And it says here, again, God shows up, and God causes their roots that are now weak and frail to go downward, that they might once again bring forth fruit that goes upward. God is the God of the second chance. I mess up in life. You mess up in life. We all make sometimes mistakes in life. The good news is we serve the God of the second chance. God will take prodigal sons and prodigal daughters that totally mess up and turn their back on their parents, the relationships, and God himself. And he'll say, if you'll come back to me, I still will come back to you. Those who draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to them. And I'm praying again in this hour in the season, many prodigals will come to Christ and come back to him once again, because God loves them. God knows them. God cares about them. Amen. All of us have areas in our lives where we actually produce good fruit. Then some also have areas in our lives that produce not so good fruit. In the areas that you produce good fruit, I'm saying take root there. Let those roots go down deeper and deeper and bear more and more fruit. With the area in your life that there's no such good fruit coming out of that, it might be your marriage. God is saying there is time to focus on those roots of your marriage, perhaps, and go get some seminars, go read some books, go watch some DVDs, go to some classes there about marriage enrichment there. Do something to let the Holy Spirit water the roots of your marriage relationship, that it doesn't get weaker and weaker, that it gets stronger and stronger in Jesus' name. The Bible says, by the washing of the water of the Word, there comes forth strength and victory and faith inside of our lives. Amen? It might be your finances. You might find some real problems financially going on right now. That means that root there of finances is getting weak. And God is saying again, go to seminars, read some books, see what God's Word says about finances. Do what God says to do, what God reveals to you. Go do that. But I'm saying dig around those roots, feed those roots, water those roots, and watch how God can turn things around. As your roots go downward, you're going to find that God brings fruit upward automatically every time. Amen? Fruit trees, plants, corn, whatever, does not produce fruit and grain by straining. They do it by letting their roots go down deeper and tapping into new nutrition and more moisture and letting God do a work in their lives that brings forth fruit automatically with God's help. Those who abide in me, I will abide in them, and they will bear much fruit. Amen? So, moving on here again. You notice here the seeds that God plants has got to be planted. I want to say something real plain, real straight right now, and that is this. I scatter seed here every time I speak on a Sunday morning. The way I'm scattering seed right now is not enough for you to be mature in Jesus Christ and bear the kind of fruit that God ordains for your life. We can scatter all the seed we want to scatter, but seed has got to become planted, okay? So whenever God gives forth a word on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whenever else you hear a word of God that comes forth there, let that seed get planted deep inside your spirit man, that it might bring forth that fruit that does remain. You've got to get rooted. You've got to let that seed go down deeper and produce forth the right roots that God wants to produce inside your life that brings forth the fruits that God desires also from your life. Amen? So, for example, again, in Tree of Life Church, I encourage you guys to not just attend here, be attenders only. I encourage you guys, get involved somehow, some way, in small groups, in volunteer ministry, on the worship team, in the nursery, in children's church, in missions, intercessory prayer, as a prayer partner. Somehow, some way, go to a small group with the singles, with those that are 50 and better, those that are younger, that are singles here as well, with the Splash Ministry. Try to find yourself involved in groups of people here, because we are the body of Christ and we need one another. Because again, he's the vine where the branches, and branches need to have different limbs coming off of them. We need to join together and become those that are not just scattered seed. We're those that actually are those that are planted in the house of the Lord. Amen? You know, there's been people in our church that come in here again, like the Pittmans are a great example as well. We didn't know them very well. And these guys, from the very, very first time they came here, began being friendly, began talking to people, making friends, showing themselves friendly to folks around them. volunteering their office or their work, their labors, volunteering their different talents and abilities, and so forth. And now as time is going by, they're bearing a whole lot of fruit right here in our congregation. And I can say the same thing among many, many couples, many singles that are here. They don't just kind of sit back and become spectators. They're those who actually get involved in doing things in a local church like this. Then through that, relationships start getting formed and roots start going down deeper and deeper and deeper in their lives as well. You talk to the Pittmans, for example, as well, you'll find, I think, they're getting more blessed themselves than we are even by them, because they're meeting terrific people in a church like this, and God's doing good things in their lives. And I can say it about so many people in our church besides them as well. We got to put down some roots to go down deeper and deeper, make friendships, get involved in smaller groups here, get involved in volunteer ministry. By doing that, you're putting your roots down deeper to bear fruit that goes upward. Amen? And God provides shade and provides so many good things by that upward fruit as well in your life. So moving on here, seeds must be planted. Let's read now Psalms. Psalms 92, verses 13 and 14 says this. Those who are planted, notice this, in the house of the Lord, not just seed being scattered on them, but they're actually planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing even in their older age. Amen? We can see in churches like this and across our nation around the world, people that are even over 80 years old, still flourishing and bearing fruit in Jesus' name, because they learned to put down some roots decades ago, and they're being consistently people of God, of worship, of praise, of prayer, and fellowship, and planted in the house of the Lord a long time ago. Amen. I want to see my latter years of life still bearing fruit. I tell Cheryl time and again, from time to time, I tell her, I want to be just like Joel or John Osteen. I want to be like Billy Graham. I want to be like Lester Sumrall, preaching one day, dead the next. Amen. I don't see retirement. I don't see myself, hopefully, in a nursing home. I see myself doing the work of God till I finally go to see Him in the air, face to face, by rapture or by death. Amen. May God help us be flourishing people as long as we're alive on the earth with God's grace and God's help. Huh? Yeah, don't retire, we refire in Jesus' name. Amen. So, it's important. We don't just attend, we become those that put down some roots. In the parable of the sower, talks about Jesus Christ gave a parable about how there's four kinds of soil that seed can go into. He talked time and time again about in parables to show the people and natural things around him that brought forth spiritual results. In the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 11, Jesus explains what the four kinds of soil represent. He said, the seed sown by the rocks or on the rocks, it says it has joy and delight and receives the word, the seed joyfully. And it springs up very fast because the rocks are full of heat. They've absorbed all the sun. Revival atmosphere is there. The fire of God is present. There's clouds and gold dust. There's angels manifesting there. It's revival all the time for a season. And so in that incubation time, the seeds spring up very fast. They're praising God, worshiping God, blessing God, loving God. It's honeymoon time for Jesus Christ. How many folks realize your first few months of getting born again, being born again, is honeymoon time? God gives you handfuls of blessings on purpose. Those first few days and weeks and months after being born again or getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? But you cannot live in that environment every day of your life. There's got to be sometimes some testings take place. The Bible says, Jesus said himself, when testings come, those folks who were sown among the rocks, who sprang up very fast with joy and revival, when testing came and the sun came out, it scorched them and it burned them. And it says they had no roots and they quickly dried up, went right back in their former state of deadness once again. So God is saying we've got to be those that realize we can't live by emotions. We can't live by feelings. Praise God that God does give us emotions and feelings from time to time that will bless our lives. But you cannot live by that. You must learn to live by faith. Amen? God will even test you sometimes by withdrawing what seems like His presence and His voice. It'll seem like God's not even there around you for a season perhaps. And God will test you and say, what kind of person will you be when you can't feel me? when you don't have any goosebumps, when you don't see things glowing in the dark on your head, will you still love me, says God? In times of testing, they fall away. Then he said also there was seed that was sown among the path. And he said when the seed sown on the path, it says the men come along and they trample upon that seed, which means the culture of the nation comes forth. And folks are involved in all kinds of rebellious attitudes, and they're involved in all kinds of sinful practices. They come along and begin to tempt that seed that God sown. Did God really say it's not okay to be a homosexual? It's not okay to be involved in abortion? You see, the culture says one thing and God's word says something else. And so men come and trample on the seed that God sowed, and folks like that can fall away when man does that successfully. It also says the birds of the air, they come and they eat the seed on the path. And the birds always represent throughout the entire Bible demonic forces. Demons come to lie into your ear, to tell you how sorry you are, how many sins you've committed in the past, how you should be guilty about all the things you've done to make God mad at you today. And all these demons start coming, trying to put things and seeds inside your mind to rob the good work that God's done in your life. And God says, don't let your seed be sown on the path where birds come and man comes and tramples down or eats what God has sown. Then there was seed that was sown, the Bible says, among the weeds. It says the weeds are like the thorns that grow up. And it says they grow together, but the weeds outgrow the real good grain. And it chokes it out and it becomes unproductive. And it does not have the destiny God intended for it to have. And Jesus said that stands for the cares of this life, the lust for riches and the worries of a fallen world and a self-preserving spirit. And God is saying those who are born again cannot allow worry and doubt and fear and self-preservation to trump over the kingdom of Almighty God. When you serve Jesus Christ, it will not always be a bed of roses. There'll be sacrifice. There'll be discomfort. There'll be suffering take place sometimes. And God says, when those weeds start coming up around you of all the worries of life, remind yourself what God says about the things you're worried about, because God has a promise for everything the world can throw at you in this life. Amen? There's one seed that was sown upon what's called the good soil. And that seed, the Bible says, produced 30 or 60 or 100-fold what was sown. God is saying there again, if seed can go upon a heart that is humble, contrite, broken, teachable, hungering for God, thirsting for God, that kind of a heart, God can take that seed and put that seed and plant that seed and bring forth a harvest of 30, 60, or 100-fold. Amen? And I want to see that kind of a seed in my life, that kind of a heart in my life to receive the good seed this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two, to have better roots, we must also, number two, be watered. Watered. First of all, get planted. Then the seed must be then watered. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8 says this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. Will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit in their lives. Praise God. I told you guys again about a year ago, these two trees of a Tree of Life Church out here in this island planted the same time, same red oaks, same place, same age. You see one tree's flourishing so much, it's about to drown out the light out there. The other tree died during drought, got cut down, and is no more. You see, one tree found good soil with its roots somehow, some way out there. The other tree only found rocks and no nutrition, and it dried up and it died. At our best efforts, it's still gone and it's still dead. God says, you're like a tree planted by rivers of living water, and you'll be flourishing and green even during Texas drought in Jesus' name. God makes a way to do that. Amen? We got to learn how to water ourselves, irrigate ourselves, find ways to get in the Word of God, speak the Word of God, believe the Word of God, let the Word of God be richly watering us every day and not depend upon all the outward circumstances of the rains that come naturally to take and cultivate our lives. and water us. Amen. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, same kind of thing, says this. Blessed is a man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. That's what God's ordained for you and I to be like. Roots that are watered, and we find there's actually roots that are unseen by natural eyes, that's underneath us by God's Spirit, that God waters those roots to go down deeper, that fruit might go upward in Jesus' name. Isn't God good? If we'll read, study, and memorize and learn and meditate upon the Word of God, whatever we do in life is going to prosper somehow, some way, in due time. It's going to prosper. Amen. Because it waters the roots, whatever your problem may be, there's water for the roots of your problems in life. Whatever God has spoken, I want to say, whenever God speaks out of his mouth, has got power attached to those words. Because God's word does not return void. But God's word will go forth and accomplish everything God wants it to accomplish. Young folks that are here this morning, congratulations again for those who went to church camp as well. May God keep on watering what God did in your lives a couple of weeks ago. Don't let the devil take one seed from you. May it be watered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One thing our youth are facing today across our nation is a thing that's called bullying. Bullying. What do I do if I'm a young person and I'm getting bullied at school? What do I do? What does God say about that? Well, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 6 says this. An evil man's mouth will snare him, but the righteous sing songs and they do, like Cheryl said, rejoice. So what God is saying here, if you're being bullied, write down Psalm 29, verse 6. Memorize that, quote that, speak that, use that word against those that are bullying you. Remind the devil, remind mankind that an evil man's mouth is going to snare him and not me. I'm going to sing and rejoice, and by that, I believe God's going to set ambushments against the enemy and bring him down somehow, some way, unraveling his plans. Now, that may sound like nonsense to you guys, because it's all talking faith and spiritual truth. The fact is, your fight's not against flesh and blood. Your fight's against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in high places that are giving people ideas to bully you on the earth. God can unravel that by the word he spoke out years ago. Amen? It also says about bullying. I have one more verse here. Psalm chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 says this. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own mouth and counsel themselves. You can write down verses like that, read those, speak those, pray those, and see what God can do in your life. I told you guys, I've been here several years. My own son, who mushroomed up to about 400 pounds in weight in high school, was just being picked on mercilessly for his weight problem he had in that era. And he was getting pushed around, getting hit, getting smacked, getting bullied on a day-by-day basis. And finally, we all got sick and tired of this. We began to pray. It came to light to us, Cheryl and I, as the parents. I began to pray about this, and we began to pray that God would deliver our son from bullying. And the Holy Spirit gave our son an idea in 1 or 2 days later and said, go join the journalistic club. Get some people around you. And by doing that, the bullying stopped in his life very fast. He joined a journalistic club. Those guys rallied around him. And all of a sudden, folks started quitting their bullying and picking on because they try to find people that are in isolation by themselves. Most bullies do that. And so God put him around some other people that made him stronger together than by himself. Amen? So I'm just saying, God will give you guys ideas also, I believe that, about bullying. What about premarital sex? What about pornography? Things that are also facing our youth and even some of our older folks as well. Write down Song of Psalms, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 7. In Song of Solomon, he says, do not awaken love until it so desires. Remind yourself, I will not allow lustful things grip my mind or heart or rule over me until it so desires when I say, till death do us part, and I kiss the bride, or I kiss the groom, and go down the aisle. Amen? God wouldn't say that in the Bible if it's not possible. Do not awaken lustful eros love until it so desires, okay? Genesis chapter 39, verse 12, Joseph's found in Potiphar's house. His wife's trying to pick up on him and have sex with him. 39, verse 12 says this, when Potiphar's wife grabbed Joseph by his garment and said, have sex with me, he left his garment with her and ran outside, I'm going to say, for his life. Amen? Because the Bible says what? Flee youthful lusts. That means turn around and run as fast as you can. I appreciate the guy that was here that spoke here Wednesday night 10 days ago or so, Ron Bishop. I was with him in South Africa doing a conference one time in the north part of that nation. Our hotel room had all the channels you can name free to us, HBO, Cinemax, whatever else could be there. And he was flipping through the channels. Ron Bishop was flipping through the channels there, and some inappropriate scene came on from a pay-per-view type station that was looked like could be pornographic type stuff. And very fast, very quick, Ron Bishop flipped that channel and turned the TV clear and totally, completely off, and left the thing very, very fast. What God is saying is, when things appear to us that lead us to premarital sex, lustful thoughts, or pornographic things, images that are there, run as fast as you can and turn the thing off. Amen? The Bible also says, wages of sin is death. Jeremiah says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Do not look lustfully at a woman. Okay, so write things like those down. Read those, speak those out, do warfare with them. See what God can do. Last of all, number three is this. Good roots must become fertilized. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9 says this. He also spoke this parable and said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find nothing. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered back and said to him, sir, let it alone this year, 1 year also, until I dig around it and I fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. So I'll be honest this morning here. Fertilizer stinks. Fertilizer is not from the best parts of animals. Amen? But fertilizer is those things that God's saying to us in life that don't smell so good. And what takes place here is God says, the way we fertilize bad roots is we pray. Prayer will fertilize things that stink in your life. It may be, again, your marriage, your finances, your children's attitude. Whatever it may be there that stinks in life, God says, put some stink on that. Bring down some divine fertilizer. Pray and pray and pray in obedience and see what God can do. But don't be so quick to cut that thing down and cut it off. Amen? Going through tough times, going through messes of life, is fertilized by prayer. Notice in this parable, the man came seeking, but he did not find what he wanted, so he was going to cut it down. And this other guy says, no, don't be so fast to take and cut down what God might have instituted in your life. I'm saying to you guys also, don't make big decisions during the storm. When you go through a time of fighting with your wife, your husband, it's not time to speak the word divorce. It's not time to call it quits and run out the back door and end the marriage. Amen? When your finances are going backwards, it's not always time to declare bankruptcy right then and there that day. When you find things take place in a church like this, and someone offends you, someone takes your seat or doesn't shake your hand, or the pastor does something kind of weird from the pulpit, don't take and leave during the storm. Let things kind of calm down. Make it a matter of prayer. Fertilize it in Jesus' name. And if a year goes by or some time goes by, then cut the thing down. If it does not change at all for the better with God's help. Do you see that? He says, slow down. Don't be quick to cut down that tree. Wait and fertilize it. Pray it before you say it. Pray it before you do it. Don't make big decisions during storms. Wait till the calm comes and make those decisions then. Amen. Well, as James comes back to the platform here today, we're going to pray in a moment here. But I want to say to you guys again that when God helps us be those who are planted, those who are watered, and those who are fertilized in the things of the Spirit, we are going to bear fruit that remains in Jesus' name. Right now, our nation, America, is going through some stinky times around us. We don't like to see folks, 50-50 folks, being mowed down and killed in Orlando, Florida, by one gunman. We don't like to see the arguing and bickering take place in debates on television by our presidential candidates. We don't like to see a $17 trillion debt in our country today. We don't like to see all the things that are being passed that are almost immoral in our country, month by month and year by year. There's many stinky things happening today. But I want to remind you again what God's Word says is still true today when it was spoken hundreds of years ago. If my people called by my name will humble themselves, and they will pray, and they'll seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. One of the main reasons I will, like many churches, again, I know do this, will not take and fudge in these last days on sin, is I know what sin does to a nation. Amen? I don't care what law gets passed in this nation or around the world. If it's against what God's Word says, I will never condone that sin from this pulpit. Amen? And I may be able to go out there and do it, be a trash man someplace. I hope not. But I'm saying I'm not going to take and fudge what God's Word says as long as I live on the earth. Amen? We love sinners. We hate sin. We love people. We hate what Satan does through people. Amen? God loves this world so much. He loves all mankind equally. He loves every Muslim. He loves every Jew. He loves every Satanist. He loves every witch in the whole world. He hates the sin they're bound by, perhaps. But he loves the person so much, he gave his son Jesus Christ on the cross to die for their sins. Let us be people in this nation that are salt and light, and pray for the healing of our nation, the healing of our cities, the healing of our churches. It begins, the Bible says, with God's people who are called by my name. Humble themselves. They pray. They seek my face. I hear from heaven. I heal their land when they turn from their wicked ways. Amen? Wicked ways is not just fornication, pornography, and adultery. Wicked ways is pride, arrogance. It's apathy, lukewarmness. These are wicked ways. Religion, wicked ways. May God show us wicked ways may be in us. May those things be broken off of us that holds back what God wants to do in this nation before Jesus Christ comes back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you, O Lord, this day that you are the God that has blessed America so much in so many good ways. We praise you for all the people, God, by the millions who come together today across this country to sing praise to God, to worship you, O God, in the beauty of holiness, to give you, God, the thanksgiving that's due your name. We are so grateful and thankful, God, for all that you've done. Help us never be those, O God, who walk in judgment upon this country and speak words of death over this nation. Let us, O God, use our mouth, we praise you, God, to speak life over America. God bless America in Jesus' name. May you, Father God, draw each one of our people in this country to Christ who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But, O God, as well, may you search our hearts each day. Let us, O God, know, is there any wicked way in us that it might be confessed, it might be forsaken, it might be repented of. There might be a change of mind, a change of heart. Let us, O God, be those who seek not just your hand, we seek your face. We give you praise and thanks, O God, your blessings upon this people, this birthday of our nation, tomorrow, 240 years old. Let it be a year, God, of breakthroughs. Let it be a year, God, of transformations. Let it be a year of great harvest. Let it be a year of divine unity. Let it be, O God, a year where your people, God, draw near to you, Father, and seek your face, not just your hand. We give you praise and thanks for all these things in Jesus' name. We have angels.